Have you heard Aces yet?
No, I didn't know it was up.
Yeah, it starts. I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Well, we lived through it. I mean, it's not like
well,
it's
no,
a
but
surprise.
I know, but you always forget. Do you always remember?
Know. I always forget.
I don't fucking remember what I did 2 days ago.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. I think we are.
What?
Oh, hang on. Just
should plug that shit in.
Smooth.
And people think I edit this.
Oh, no.
Did they really?
We leave all the mistakes in.
I bet they think we have riders, too, right?
I've been through Arkansas. I've been to Paris, France, and Nassau, and Ball. Down in the hollow spot.
Can I guess who this is?
Our crusade to get Mike Doty on our podcast continues.
Gasoline. You should be. You should be doubly.
I'm behind this Mike Doty thing.
Yeah.
However, you know that we're going to have Bob Schneider on in less than a month, so
yeah,
we should probably start playing him again.
I know, and I'm going to...
He has a new album.
We're going to go see him and all sorts of stuff.
We are.
Oh, we're seeing him.
Are we all
you
three
are.
Going?
You are. I'm out of town.
Oh, is he here?
He's at the Rathskeller.
Shut the front door.
He called me and wants to make sure that we're going to be there.
Yeah, you should keep playing Mike Doty then. That's what I do.
Well, I just... All right, we'll close with Bob Schneider.
Learned a bunch of verbs. A spooky language only lonely girls have heard. You should be.
Okay, Mike, call us and tell us to stop playing the music. And then while we got you on
listening.
The phone... Yeah,
no.
He probably isn't.
No.
Thank you for downloading the podcast. It's the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick McGee. That is Jess.
Hello.
That is Jason. Jess is wearing a lovely dress.
Uh-huh.
It's...
Do you know what? With my hair up in this weird bun and this dress, I feel like one of the bridesmaids in Urban Cowboy.
Oh, I thought you...
Mama, my legs are sweating.
My legs are sweating.
That's right.
But doesn't this top, that's what all they wore back then,
yep.
You know?
You're right.
The full package almost, I thought you were going to say, looks like you're gonna go read some palms.
Oh, yeah, I could mm-hmm. do that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one, too.
You look like a classy gypsy.
Yeah. This is what a gypsy looks like when she dresses
know.
Up.
A classy gypsy.
Yeah.
Now, are you wearing lovely dresses? I'm not that you're not lovely. You're wonderfully dressed all the time. But is this part of a birthday week celebration that you're gussied up like this?
No, I just bought the dress yesterday.
Well, where did you buy the dress?
I'm not going to say because I don't support that.
Well, you could just say a general.
At a store.
At a store.
Thanks, boy. Way to dig deep
down.
There.
Mm-hmm. Chick. So are you looking forward to your birthday or not? Because after this, you'll have your birthday after this comes out.
Uh-huh.
Before this comes out.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
My birthday is...
Actually, I might release it the day of your birthday.
We will?
Happy birthday, Jess.
Did you guys get me a cake?
No.
A cupcake?
A cup.
I think we'll celebrate when we do a podcast next week.
There we go. We could celebrate then.
Okay.
Because we'll need to do one next week before the 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to figure something out.
Yeah, I'm excited about my birthday. I've got big plans to... I'm making my kids... I make my kids go junkin' with me on my birthday every year. And
junkin'?
Yeah, we just hit all of like... We go like Goodwills and antique stores and vintage thrift shops and just...
So stuff for future yard sales is what you're saying.
My house looks like a yard sale.
That's
if you've
not
been
true.
In my house, yes, it is. There's a lot of stuff in there, just a lot of upcycled stuff. Like I have the main light fixture when you walk into my house is an old bicycle tire, and
reduce, reuse, recycle.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of that decorating scheme? Remember, you bought a book that one time that described how the house was decorated.
It's an imperfect home. That's the book. That's what I think of when I think of my house. It's not. There's nothing. There's no theme. There's
it was
no.
It's like Nouveau.
The woods
something
don't match.
Yeah, nothing matches.
My house is.
And it's. Well, I have beautiful wood floors.
There's a lot of blood and sweat under that wood floor.
Everybody loved. I had card night last night.
What
and,
did that
and
one?
Hosted cards.
Yeah,
and everybody loved the floors. I credited you.
Honestly, did you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh,
no, like, I fucking did it.
There should be a little thing in the corner, like it's a piece of art. You know,
yes,
you
like those plaques sign, they have in parks.
Maybe a plaque.
No, that makes me seem like I'd die. Yeah. Isn't that enough? We broke up. Now I got to die. No.
Yeah. No. It's just credit to the artist.
Yes.
You're
yeah.
still alive. Yeah, yeah. It'll be. Yes, it'll be worth more once you're dead.
Sure. Artist has never appreciated.
I'm
going to
sell
life.
Tickets. See, this is the floor that he lived.
I'd say he should just sign it.
Sign it.
Did anybody in the corner?
Did anybody have any smart ass comments? And if they did, don't tell me.
No, everybody was really nice.
Did you just ask a question
that if you tell her not to answer,
don't tell me?
No, why would anybody say anything shitty?
That was a good time.
What?
You know, not shitty, but you know, snarky. Like.
No, we're friends. I know your friends are weird and mean, but
who,
my friends
whose
are
friends
not
are weird and mean?
Yours.
Well, now.
I have a couple of friends that are weird and mean.
Okay, fair enough.
Well,
so
but
do
this
I.
Is not
I
that
think we
group.
All do.
This is not that group.
Oh, okay.
No, so
because
we had that, cards.
The one lady, because you put a picture up on somewhere, and the hardwood floors were prominently displayed.
Oh, and my friend Mary was like, I
goes,
want those floors. Give them to me now.
Yeah, those work. And they've really held up pretty well, haven't they?
I would hope so. They're fucking like 2 inches thick.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before they.
Nobody
are you
a
for
shit
hire
about this.
I do. Who, me?
Yeah, can someone hire you out?
Oh, boy, to put in another hardwood floor? Man.
He can lay the pipe.
Who can lay the pipe and put in the hardwood floor?
Sorry, not necessarily.
I'm not talking woodworking, not plumbing.
I did that though. I really had a great time.
Are they kind of interchangeable when you're talking about what we're talking about? They work the wood and lay the pipe.
I still would like to fix the upstairs hallway.
Oh, okay.
I would like for you to. Oh God, there's Tom. Oh my gosh, isn't it scary? It still freaks me out when I see
when
him.
You see him.
Like I don't like he was in the parking lot when I got here, and I was like, don't get out.
You know
the
what it's like. You know what it always reminds me of.
Was always reminds.
I don't know why, but every time when I see him, other than in this room, mm-hmm. and during the hours we're on the air, if uh-huh. I see him. Like uh-huh. in a grocery store.
It's like when you see a teacher out in public. You're like, "Where? You're not supposed to be here."
Right. That, yeah. And it reminds me of how the staff on the Bozo the Clown show would feel if they saw Bozo walking around.
Really?
Walking around the studio. Yeah. Because he's really not, I mean, he's somewhat in the moment here when we're doing the show.
Be serious.
But not really.
Yeah.
But he's really, you could walk by him and he would never, it's rolling the dice. He either sees you or he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Mm-hmm. I see him at least once a month in his car.
Yeah.
And he's oblivious.
Oh, well, I
there
can't
were a couple
about
of, there
that.
Were a couple of things. There were a couple of times where we were at events, Chick and I was kind of standing there, and Tom never acknowledged me, never no. said hi, never said no. anything. Mm-hmm.
And
I was
you're
just
not
like,
oversensitive to that, are you?
No, I'm no, not with Tom. It
no,
took a while.
You
it
no.
took a while. No,
well,
no.
It's okay. true.
No,
it's
yeah.
True.
Yeah, but it's because I didn't take it personally. Like because this guy has a lot going on.
He does
yeah.
the same thing to me, though.
That's not true.
Absolutely the truth. I can't remember a function that we were at where he would come up and go, "Oh, hi, Chick. How are you?" Never.
I always love it though when he does come up because he has like a joke. Like he's walking towards you and he's already grinning. Like I can't wait to say this.
Oh no, no,
he's
no.
always
he
so.
Made, he made an observation in the
yes,
room.
Yes, right. yes, yes.
Chick always makes
I always
that joke.
That.
Check out this guy, but
right.
yeah, he's always doing. That.
Yeah, yeah,
check
yeah,
out
yeah.
this guy over
yeah.
here. Where do you think he got those pants? Stuff right. like that.
Yeah, no, so I think we should have that intern kid on though.
No.
No. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. Sorry, buddy.
We have two of them now.
You have two interns.
Yeah. Vern. What's his name?
Vern. Yes. Vernon.
Nooch and Vern.
I don't know.
One kid's Jeremy.
Maybe it is Jeremy.
That kid,
Vern
that kid is.
It.
One just started today.
Who, that kid didn't.
We need it. What about an intern for this?
I have already said that. And you guys said there's no intern.
When did you say that?
And we're not getting an adult intern like that weird shit that went on here a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of
we're
weird.
Getting a college intern.
Yeah, we should get a college intern.
I don't remember the adult one that was weird.
Was he an intern or was he kind of like a, we're going to hire you because...
He was an old friend.
Yeah, an old show friend.
And
yeah.
of someone and he... It was a little awkward.
An intern?
Yeah.
It kind of was an intern situation. He it did was, those kind of things.
It was kind of like hiring.
And he was older than you.
That's impossible. There's no one older than me. We
no,
all
I'm not saying. I'm
no,
saying.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say it's like if you and a buddy of yours from high school started a business and your buddy's dad wanted to work for you. That's kind of what it was like.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Huh.
Okay. Was it very short window?
I guess. I don't
yeah,
even think I worked here.
Okay.
No. The one you're talking about was a long time
ago. Yeah, I didn't even work here then.
Yeah.
Oh, that was in the back.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
That was with Matt was here at that
Matt
time.
Was here.
They interned together?
Well, Matt was a true intern, and then that guy was helping at the time.
That, guy, gotcha. That guy coined the phrase, I know all about it. What is it?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I thought that was yours.
No, that's the guy who...
That's funny.
Man, he was a really smart guy and very successful in what he'd
so
done,
funny.
But he wasn't doing it anymore.
Okay,
and,
I'm going to laugh about that the rest of the day.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, let's say we got an intern. What would an intern do?
I've got all kinds of things for an intern to
During the show or just, you know, shopping and stuff outside?
Stuff.
They
like
could
what?
Get you food and stuff. And...
No, I don't know. I think that we could have an intern...
What?
I don't know. Now that I think about it, I try to think about the things that I did.
We don't have stuff for
We've
people
got all kinds
do.
Of stuff we need to have done.
Like
though.
What?
Like what?
We've got our,
we need them to find a photographer so we can schedule our pictures.
I have a photographer.
Sam Scott? No, your neighbor.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you want to see these pictures he took of my girls during the recital.
Oh, that's what you were saying. I do
really?
Want to see those.
Oh, my gosh. And
so
he was
good.
Way up high in the back. I mean, he's got this camera that's
so
amazing.
Good.
We need to get new t-shirts or...
That we're working on.
We're going to do that tomorrow, you think?
But we just need to go see PJ to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love PJ. Like, I want PJ to come and
we were
be
go
our
do that
on
tomorrow.
Staff guy.
We're gonna go
I
do
can't
that.
Do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I know you can't do it tomorrow, but
we're
going to
go look, just get some ideas, and we'll send them to you.
And then we'll send them to you, and then the next time you can go see PJ. How's that?
Okay? I'll go see PJ whenever the fuck I want to.
That's right, you can.
You know what?
Throw
exactly
stuff
right.
at me.
He would like that. You just
love
show
him.
Up. He loves the pop-in.
He does. I would love the pop-in over there, too. God, is that place... How is that place?
Oh, it's a ghost town, but that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, that probably is
I just saw PJ
good.
Yesterday.
You did? Where did you see him?
At the writer's meeting.
You guys... Did you guys go?
I sort of went.
He kind of came
happened?
In and out.
What were you doing? Where
on,
was it? Was it
on,
at was it at George's Binkley's?
Even on the podcast, I can't really tell you what was happening. But at,
shut up!
I got
just
there.
Tell me.
I got there late.
Was everybody there?
I took Zany with me.
Yeah,
you took Bob.
Oh, that's the big news this morning.
Him and Bob got into a big fight the other
Bob
day.
Bob Zany has left my house. Life is worth living. No, it's just like we're brothers when we're together that long, and it's
That long was what 3 days.
But keep in mind, this is someone who's never had siblings and never, unless he's
committed in a relationship, I don't live with that person.
Boinkin' the person.
Boinkin' the person. Yeah.
What is going on?
Doinkin', boinkin', you can use all of them.
Dorkin'.
Somebody's calling.
No, it's not for us.
But anyway, I dropped Bob off because I didn't want to go in.
Is that why you always drop me off? Like, you want me to scout the room? You've always done that.
No. I just was not ready to go in.
Like the time Mary was in the restaurant, you knew she was in there, and you sent me in there as a decoy.
No, I didn't. No.
Decoy?
Well, he probably
Recon.
Didn't. Recon.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, that's what I was running your interference. But
anyway, I walked in, and everything...
happened.
Happened right in front of my face, and I couldn't take it anymore. So I went out and sat at the bar.
Everyone in it could not have
chips.
Fit in this room.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people. Everybody showed up.
There's no talking.
Right.
Oh, I mean, just you had your own little corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like 10.
Did you
help? Four different groups.
And
did you booze?
I boozed after the...
Well, here's what happened. Okay. I thought he's still here because Zany's here. That was my thought.
He was right.
So I went out in the parking lot to see if his car was there, and it was. I'm like, well, where the hell is it? So I walk back in, and I peek, and I see him in the corner of the bar.
Right.
Hi, how are you?
But he was on the phone or doing something. So
I was on the phone.
He wasn't doing
something. Who are you on the phone with?
You!
Oh.
He was doing
Silly
whatever.
Girl.
So I went back into the meeting. Then I get a text, him in the bar stopped by. So I go out and
you
talk to him.
You sent Zany into the meeting like as your stand-in?
No, Zany wanted to go to the meeting.
Oh, my God. How
I
was that?
I might have said,
okay,
Bob.
So stop. How was that?
Zany had a crowd. How do you think it was?
Yeah. He didn't stop.
See, that's the thing. I love the guy. You know how I love it. He's family. I love the guy. But he's on a lot. And I'm not on very much.
I didn't experience that with him when it was him and
I know.
One-on-one.
I don't. Maybe it's because you're a girl. I don't know. But
I have a vagina.
That helps you a lot. You know, do you realize that?
In life?
Not in the boobs.
I don't. I really, because I've very rarely been hit on.
By guys your own age.
By guys my own age.
Or your own race.
Or my own race. That's true.
I can understand that.
And I don't know what it is, but white guys that are my age don't like me. They're not attracted to me. They don't, none of those things.
And
that's a fact.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
No, so it's just I have never used my vagina for that for good. Like that. That's true.
All right.
I don't mean like my vagina. I
so,
mean like
anyway, Bob.
My vagina.
What? My vagina.
What is that?
My Sharona.
Oh, I was going to say my Corona. That's a beer. No, so we played Cards Against Humanity last night.
Mm-hmm. So when you said
we were
cards,
gonna play, well, we were gonna play euchre, and then we decided not to play euchre, and we decided to just play cards.
Well, let's back up
because one of our girls had to cancel; she had a kid thing, so there was not eight of us.
So you
and I said, Jason says we can play seven hand euchre.
I said six
hand
but you,
euchre.
But you said that, but you ordered this game, Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against
because
Humanity.
You were excited.
I was
about
excited.
It.
It's filthy.
It's filthy.
It's filthy.
It's evil.
It's horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should not even tell you. I told him one. I'm not going to say it out loud.
No, don't say it.
It's horrible.
No,
but
absolutely.
I learned a new word last night. We
no.
all did. Yes, I'm. Should I not say it?
No, you can say it.
Because it's. I'm. I guess I'm not sensitive to it because I don't know. I didn't know what it meant. But there was. We had to Google a lot of stuff. Like we are some. We are some Hancock County backward girls when it comes to this game. But one of the
backward.
Cards.
Nice girls. Yeah. Is probably what
one
you
of
mean.
The cards. So it's like apples to apples.
Right.
If you've ever played apples to apples. So they give you read a thing and then you have to fill in the blank and
you have a handful of cards.
And you
that
have
could
seven
fill
cards
in,
that you can fill
in. The blank.
But one of the cards you could fill in the blank said Bukkake.
Okay.
And we were all like, what is, what it was, no, the card said pixelated Bukkake. And I was like, what is that? I was like, what, somebody Google Bukkake. And they're like, it says pixel. I was like, motherfucker, I know what pixelated means. It's the Bukkake part that I don't know. So we looked it up. Do you know what that is?
It's kind of a team sport of a gentleman and there's one lady involved. And they
on Wiki, there's a drawing.
They achieve.
There's a picture. Yeah, we don't. I don't want to
release simultaneously.
It's
and the lady is.
I had no idea that's what it was.
Yeah,
but it sounds like yes. It sounds like
It sounds like a brownie or something.
What?
Like an? It
like a Japanese like a, brownie.
Sounds like a dessert. Would you like Bukkake to top off the evening?
Ginny Deeb brought sopapilla, and I said, "Stop saying that. I don't even know what that is."
All right. Well, now you got to say who was there. Mary, Jenny D. Who else?
Mary, Jenny D. Melissa.
Do you say Jenny D?
Jenny D from the block. Yeah. Yeah.
Tom's walking in the performance room like he's a contractor.
Oh, he's looking around like he's seen it for the first time.
Look how excited this kid is to be in his presence.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that sweet?
Okay. Jenny D, Melissa, Chrissy.
Jenny D, Melissa, Chrissy, Mary, Heather.
I don't know Heather.
Jeremy and Heather.
Oh, Heather. Okay. Yeah.
And Amber.
Oh, yeah?
Amber's having another baby. I called
she
her out.
She is not.
Yes, I did that. I called her out. What do we need to do?
No. You're fine. Oh. You called her out. What do you mean?
She came and she was, we were all standing there talking.
Oh,
and
she hasn't told anyone
right.
yet? Okay.
And so she has pop. She brought pop.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, okay. She set that down. I was like, okay. And then she said, and she was like, I guess we're going to buy a minivan. She's like, to haul around all these kids. And I was like, bitch, are you pregnant?
Oh.
And she was like, 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
She has a 9-month-old and a 2-year-old. So it's a big.
All your friends are lovely, but she's
Amber's
a
very
lovely,
nice. Yeah,
lovely,
Amber's nice.
Nice.
They're all nice. I wouldn't fucking have them to my house if they were assholes.
But she always reminded me of the actress Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah,
she kinda,
I could see that.
Looks
I could
a little
see
bit
that.
Like her, yeah.
Yeah, so, but we're split half and half. Like, half of us have kids, half of us don't.
Right.
So it's just, it's fun.
Right.
And none of us were necessarily best friends in high school, but we're, it's fun. I like it. I really like this group of girls.
Cards Against Humanity. So you would or would not recommend someone buy that game?
I would.
Because you were really looking forward to
it. Oh, it's triple X rated. And it's not even like sexual. It's just filthy, dirty. I mean, there's racism. Mm. There is.
There's Hitler.
I had a Hitler card.
Did you see? I bet.
Yeah.
Well, there was one.
I had a Trail of Tears card.
Yeah,
it's just
awful.
Weird, random stuff.
I was looking at it on Amazon, and one of the questions was, "What platform would you run if you were going to run for president?
What would your platform be?
What would your platform be?" And it was like, "I don't give a shit about the third world or something like
well,
that."
Well, I had a card last night, and it said, "What would you if you were?" if you were to be in office and you had to make a department to mm-hmm. help the third world, like what would you donate? Oh. What would you send over there for the third world?
And what was the answer?
I said Gandhi. I had a Gandhi card.
I had a Gandhi.
Wouldn't you send Gandhi?
I would send
Gandhi. I think he's already over there.
I'm real fuzzy on where the third world begins and ends.
There's a lot of them.
I'm really confused. Our guest this time on the Off the Air podcast is comedian Jesse Joyce. Hi,
what's
Jesse.
Up, pal? How are you?
This is good. Exciting. Jesse has been coming on the Bob and Tom show for how long?
Like 7 or 8 years, probably.
7 or 8 years, yeah. And Jesse's most distinguishing feature, Jason, I know you're looking at him, is his eyes.
Yeah.
I like the same color as your shirt.
Right?
Yeah.
They're gigantic.
He's got big eyes. And my favorite story of Jesse's is that he said one time you got pulled over by the police.
Yeah.
And the cop came up to you and you were...
The pussy hound story?
Yes.
It's insane. Yeah. Do you want me to tell it?
Yeah.
So I was driving and like this cop, he pulls me over and he wants to search my car mostly because of like I have a cracked out eye situation. Like it happens to me a lot.
You look high when you're not.
Yeah, exactly. And right. I've never done drugs.
But sleepy people, high, but like crazy high.
Yeah, right. And I'm kind of animated when I talk anyway. So I had this, you know, where so he wants to search my car, which I've had happen before, to expedite the process and being as friendly as possible to him.
Right.
And he finds out I'm a comedian and he starts telling me, he goes, oh, you're a comedian. I bet you get laid a lot doing that. And I was like, well, this is weird. Like, it's just so weird, you know, to have this conversation with this cop on the side of the road, you know.
Right.
And, but it's like the path of least resistance. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. You know? Like,
whatever. And well, then you don't want to appear like,
the correct
like
answer
a sissy.
To that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No,
like,
I never
you know,
get laid
he's being
at all,
a bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be a prude, you know. So I'm like, yeah, dude. And he's like, and then he just launches into some pussy story about some fat chick that he had sex with a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's just like, yeah, like, you know, just nailing this fat chick in the back of a bar. And I'm like, all right, like this guy has like no boundaries whatsoever. You know, we're just chatting about it. And so, you know, whatever. Like I kind of end up like, yeah, yeah, no, I fucking had an experience like that. Whatever. Like I'm just trying to get out of it. He's like, all right, man, you're a cool guy. You know, like fucking. Right. He's like, and at some point he high-fived me also. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
It was like some pussy related. He's like, yeah, buddy. You know, and like I got to high-five him. It's just creepy and weird. And then, like, we go our separate ways, but now he's, like, following me on the turnpike. And at one point, he passes me, or I pass him. I eventually, like, get off at a rest stop just to fucking get away from him.
Right.
At one point, we're, like, neck and neck, and he, like, honks at me, like, hern. And I look over, and he's going, like, yeah, doing, like, the pussy V sign.
With his where you take your fingers
he's
and put your tongue.
I thought he'd be, like, the shocker.
Puts his tongue out, like, yeah, buddy. You know, like, that. This guy?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, what a fucking creep. So anyway, so that should be the end of the story. But then literally 2 days later, this is the part that I think is what you were talking about.
Yep.
So then 2 days later, a buddy of mine, Jeremy Schachter, he's a comic also. He was driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and he gets pulled over by this cop. And the cop goes, you're a stand-up comic. You got to be kidding me. You're like the second comic I pulled over this week. Do you know Jesse Joyce? And he goes, yeah, I do. I know Jesse. And he goes, man, that guy's a pussy hound, huh? He like put it on me. So then Jeremy calls me at like 9 a.m. to go like, what the fuck were you talking about with this cop? Like, because he had to get the details of why. Anyway. So,
oh, my God.
That's got to be surreal that 2 days later, it's out of your mind. Mm-hmm. It's over. And then you get a call from a buddy. Are you kidding me?
Right. That's that guy is like probably still telling stories about me somewhere on the road.
Right.
Know?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
I pulled over this one guy. Man, we had a great conversation about pussy. And
Yeah. It's like that guy needs a partner. You know what I mean? Like,
to protect and to serve.
Yeah. So, I mean, just somebody to chat with in the car, I think, you know?
So what is it? I mean, you said you get that a lot. You have eyes, you have great eyes, but they're a little bigger, whatever.
Right.
What is the most common thing, you know, especially with girls, with women? What are they?
Yeah, really, it's good or bad?
It's
literally 50-50. Okay. Like half of the women that I have met think that it's like a great feature because they're really bluey, you know, and whatever.
Bluey.
Yeah. And so like that word, but the other half like really do. It's like a cracked out, creepy. Mm-hmm. Like it's weird. It's just right down the middle. So,
I'm trying to think. You really reminded me of someone when I first saw you, and I was like, who is it? I've been racking my brain, and I realized.
She does this with all our guests.
A non-Jew Adam Goldberg.
Oh, I have never gotten that one before.
Yeah, you do look. Yeah, a little Adam Goldberg-y. Yeah.
Do you remember Adam?
I know exactly who he is. Yeah,
he's the. Yeah. Do you remember in Dazed and Confused?
Right.
Yes, just, he was one of the intellectual. Dance. He's one of the intellectual kids.
Yeah,
right?
He's
right.
I just want to dance. He's in the back of that station wagon.
So it's him and that specifically? It's,
yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, sorry. Not Saving Private
no,
Ryan?
No.
Because they're like, because they're hazing.
Or his Vine. I watch his Vine a lot. Okay.
They're hazing the freshman or something, and they're him and his other intellectual buddy. Well, I don't know why they're even doing this. This is absolutely stupid. I mean, this is, yeah.
Right. Okay.
I like him. That's I've always been a fan of him.
He's in one of the greatest scenes in a movie that I've ever seen is he's in... Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's
said,
amazing.
Yeah. He's great. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Did you know that the kid? You know the kid who the coward who I love that character. He's my favorite character in Saving Private Ryan. The cowardly kid who's cowering on the staircase while Adam Goldberg is being bayoneted.
And
he can't bring himself to go up and save him. You know,
right.
Which like. Bullshit guys will go like that guy's a pussy, you know, and it's like what the fuck would you do?
What would you do?
I actually really admire that they have that character in there because like you never know, like
not everybody's a
how the
hero,
fuck do you know that you're not gonna also be a coward in that so anyway and then there's redemption at the end, you know. Do you guys watch Justified?
I don't. No, everybody told me to watch that.
No.
That guy, it took me three seasons to realize that he's like a main character in Justified.
Oh,
like,
my
he's
God.
An amazing actor. He plays this like redneck cracker
meth
head kid, you know? And it's like you would never recognize him. He's like, he just blends into the.
I'm a Breaking Bad guy. I like Mad Men.
Totally. I'm into those too.
Sopranos, HBO, 6 Feet Under.
Sopranos has been off the air for like 10 years.
I've never seen it. So, and all of the Gandolfini whatever tributes made me realize, like, I got to start getting into the show.
I tweeted about Get Shorty when he died because he plays what's his name? Bear.
That's right.
Get Shorty.
Yeah.
He's the muscle for, I forget what the. With the crime bosses, but he's great in that.
In the works with HBO to do another series.
Yep.
Like that was getting ready.
Oh,
to
he
happen.
Was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had not heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm doubly.
It was
sad.
Just getting off the ground. Yeah.
Dang on it.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Right. Who do people say you look like a lot? You said I've never got that. Who
I
do
get
they say?
The 90% of it is I either get young Hugh Laurie from House.
Okay, I got that. Yeah.
House, or Jim Brewer.
I thought you were going to say Huey Lewis.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Sorry,
not Huey Lewis.
How about drug using Matthew Perry?
Never gotten that one.
No.
But okay,
Matthew Perry.
Thanks
remember
going
when he was
drug
really skinny?
Using,
well, that's when he was really skinny.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is a scene in Friends where the cliffhanger is him as skinny Matthew Perry.
At the end of the season, he's heavy.
And then
the first episode of the next
rail
season,
thin.
Yeah,
he's obviously
like,
lost
like
80 pounds.
Yeah. They say something to Rand, like, did you get glasses? Like something. It was a big change.
No, I'm addicted to Vicodin.
Yes, that's all.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being a bit addicted to Vicodin. What's wrong with that?
Is there? Can
poor
you get
guys.
It out?
Yeah. So, Jesse, you do a bunch of stuff.
I do.
You do stand up. You write. You're on the TV. Oh, yeah. Tell Jess what TV show you're on. Go ahead.
What?
You're on a TV show?
Red Eye? Yeah. You're the Red Eye show on Fox?
On Fox News. I do that all the time.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. Why? What?
Did I just
walk into like a Fox News landmine? Is that what that is?
Well, I mean,
because I'm
not a fan.
No, I'm not. I'm not either.
I'm sure
it's a really funny show. That show.
Then I'll watch. If you're on it and you're watching. Okay. Then I'm not going to say that, but you'd. I hate Fox News for all the reasons.
No. Yeah, I get it.
You know?
I totally get it.
Yeah, it's not like I'm out here on an island.
Red Eye is like a really fun. The premium is on the comedy on that show and not on the politics or whatever.
Okay,
you know? And they have like respectable comics that do it. You know, it's actually good. You know, it's like Jim Norton and you know, Joe DeRosa and myself are like regular guys on it. It's a funny show. So
I'll check it out for
I've
sure.
I've heard it talked about many times and I've never.
Yeah.
Because it's on like, what, 3 a.m. or something?
On the East Coast. Yeah. That's the fun part
is
that like I end up like drawing because I've been doing it for long enough that like I draw people every week from Red Eye. Not enough to like make a dent in the real, you know, but there's always fans of Red Eye that come out to see me. And the further west you get, the more reasonable those fans are, you know?
Okay, gotcha.
Because it's on at midnight on the West Coast. So, and it's on at 11 o'clock at night in Alaska. So, like, I draw tons of people in Anchorage because it's on at 11, you know? So, it's like fucking prime time, you know?
Yeah.
But if you, on the East Coast, like, if anybody comes out when I'm in Florida, they're a fucking serial killer. You know what I mean?
You.
Like,
I love
the kind
you on
of
that
people
show,
yeah.
Man. Yeah.
That
That's
are awake at 3 in the
yeah.
morning watching television
right,
or
right.
a very different breed than the kind of people who are up at midnight watching TV.
What's the platform for the show? I mean, how do you work in the comedy?
It's basically it's virtually the same format as real time, you know? So it's kind of a conservative, slanted real time is what it is.
I told
and
him
I'm
not
even
Bill
really
Maher's name.
We don't mention Bill Maher's name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wrote a roast joke about Bill Maher once that was...
Oh, good.
It was, Bill Maher is so smug that if you looked up the word smug in the dictionary, he would make fun of you and call you a retard for having to use a dictionary. Wow. I thought that was a pretty clever... I love the spin on the classic joke, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I love
yeah.
doing
good.
Those.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's another one of your talents. You write a lot of jokes for award shows and
yeah.
roasts.
Yeah, I wrote for the Oscars this year.
He wrote
did?
For the Oscars.
Yeah, that's yeah. awesome.
Actually, this is one of my favorite classic spins on a regular joke that we didn't talk about. You know how it was like fresh off the heels of Tommy Lee Jones being so grumpy at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Remember
right.
how that became
yeah.
like a meme right. and was real popular?
Uh-huh. Right.
So we definitely had to address Tommy Lee Jones's potential grumpiness at the Oscars.
Right. yeah.
And... So we had a bunch of jokes about what we could have done or whatever. And so one of them was like a bit between Seth and Sandra Bullock that didn't end up happening, but it was trying to make Tommy Lee Jones laugh, you know?
Right.
And so it was like, here's a Tommy Lee Jones knock knock joke. So go ahead, chick, you start.
Knock knock.
Get off my porch. I love that one. I wrote that. I was pretty
That's
proud of
funny.
That one.
Yeah. Well, they went to him. I mean, that was one of the first. In the first minute, I yeah. think was it went they just showed him and he just was sitting
just
there grumpy.
Scowl,
yeah.
No. He definitely cracked a smile. That's what ruined the bit in a way.
Oh.
Was that they kind of did say like yeah. the quest to make Tommy Lee Jones laugh begins now,
and
he laughed. Which I guarantee a team of PR people sat him down before the Oscars
yeah,
and were like,
said,
"You will yeah. be a fucking genial good sports this whole night." You know?
Oh, I bet so.
So
yeah.
like he kind of because even the laugh itself was a little too like, uh-huh. "Nah, good one, you got me." He was really being a fucking great sport.
It was so un-Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was definitely compensating.
So that intro, that I mean, I don't ever, I'm not a big movie guy anyway, so I rarely ever watch the Oscars, but I happened to this year, and that was the most entertaining 20 minutes of TV I'd seen in a long time.
Oh, that's great.
That,
cool.
That first, I assume you had a lot to do with it? Or
yeah, well, I was one of the guys who, yeah, it was me and like six other guys who wrote it, mostly Family Guy dudes. And
right.
Yeah, they're all like fucking... like top notch. Like it was really a heavy hitters sort of all-star team of writer guys.
What is that like? I've always, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that, I would
other
love
than
to
what I do
watch
regularly
it.
In the morning, I sort of thought I could because that's what I do. I kind of react to ideas that are, I
right.
hear and I just react and throw in stuff.
Right.
Is that what it's like or is it really competitive or
with the guys in the
writing? Yeah, in the writing that? Room. Yeah.
No, no, it's not competitive.
Yeah.
Like if anything, it's good competitive in the sense that like, this guy's fucking hilarious. Like, I better bring it. You know, like,
oh,
it's,
okay.
so it's
yeah.
it's competitive in the way that it really makes you up your game. But it's never, like, I've heard of that happening. Like, it shitty sitcoms and whatever in the
right.
writer's
yeah.
room, like, people will laugh at their own shit when it comes up and not so much at other guys. Like, it's politics. But with
yeah.
this, it was literally just like, because the fun thing about writing for a guy like Seth is that you're really just playing to the top of your intelligence. Because he's a really smart and funny guy and can
mm-hmm.
pull off, you know, would rather do, like, edgy, smart shit.
Right.
So you're just really trying to write the best shit you can, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I've written for other guys before where it's just, you know, it's like math, you know, it's like, I don't think any of this shit that you do is funny. So
right.
you just have to like write a thing that looks like the thing that they already do and go like, I guess that's and they're like,
right.
yep, I love it. You know, it's
yeah.
great.
Three
you know?
Plus three equals seven.
Yeah, 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 yeah exactly.
Yeah, and then they do that. I've never seen an episode of Family Guy.
It's a funny show.
Really?
She has. You've seen almost all of them, right? I mean,
yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I'm not a diehard like a lot of people. But
I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it, and I know that you know the dog talks with Seth's voice, and you know he does.
Yeah. No, I like.
He does
I
a lot
like
of the
it.
Voice.
It's
yeah.
really. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I'm a Simpsons guy. I don't watch the Simpsons that much anymore.
I mean, it's fucking 25 years old, right? Like,
yeah,
how many
really?
More jokes?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's kind of a done.
Tell Jess your backstage and Jason tell. You're backstage at the Oscars, and you're writing,
oh.
and you have to go to the bathroom. Go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's only like one bathroom, strangely
one
enough.
Bathroom
like
backstage.
The really
the backstage of the Oscars is astoundingly small. Like,
where
there's
was
a lot
it?
Of like
the
secret
Kodak
corridors
Theater?
And shit. Well, it's no longer called. It's now called the Dolby Theater, but yes, it's that place.
It's that place, yeah.
Yeah, which by the way is a funny thing. If you ever go out there, it's the same theater. It's right on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
Where they do it. If you ever go there, I just think this is hilarious about the arrogance of show business people in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series when you're walking up the promenade to go into the theater, like, because tourists go there all the time the rest
right.
of the year to just see where they do the Oscars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's columns all over the, like, that lead all the way down the promenade, and on the columns are etched every Best Picture nominee or winner for the last whatever 84 years that there have been Oscars, 85.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like whatever, Gone with the Wind is one of your, but I know Gone with the Wind didn't win, but you know what I'm saying? Like 1940, whatever.
The
like
first
I can't think
Wings.
Of a fucking,
I know that Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
First,
so it's like 1920, yeah. whatever Wings, right. you know, right. and then it just hit Braveheart 1995 and whatever. Then on the other side, they have the years for future years with an empty space, right?
Right.
Those years go up to 2077. And it's like the fucking balls of you guys to just assume. Like the rest of the world isn't even sure there's going to be a world, but you guys are goddamn certain there's going to be a celebratory bullshit award show. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just think it's kind of fun. Anyway, so the backstage is like smaller than this.
Really?
You know? Yeah, it's like narrow. Like you're just constantly in everybody's way. Like Liam Neeson is like, sorry, like brushing past you. You know, I was standing on Reese Witherspoon's dress at one point. Like, sorry about that. You know, like that just shit is going on all the time. And there's like one bathroom back there. And so you're like, I'm waiting in line to use the bathroom. And like behind me, like Michael Douglas is now like standing right behind, like waiting to piss after I do, you know, just sitting there, like clearing his cancerous throat behind me, just like,
you
know, and then
chin.
Like fucking, yeah. And then like, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman files in behind him and like, you know, fucking Jamie Foxx, and they're all like chatting with each other. It's like, I'm holding up Jamie Foxx and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Michael Douglas's bladders because like they're after me. Like it was just kind of a weird.
That is a weird situation.
But, yeah. My thing is, what's your worst case scenario? Who comes out of the bathroom before you?
Yeah.
John Goodman walk out.
Oh yeah, John Goodman. You get the feeling it would be
monumental,
massive, and he would take.
Well, I think the polite thing to do is not to do that back there.
What?
No,
you're there for hours.
That happened to me twice. I was on a roll twice in like 60 days.
What are you talking about?
I was in line backstage at an event, and Bruce Hornsby and the Range were the band, and I was going to introduce the band. And I'm standing at the portalette, and I feel this tap on my shoulder behind me, and I'm next to go in the portalette, and the tap on me. Can I go in next? It's Bruce. I got to get on stage. Can I go in next?
He's a pre-show pooper.
Yes. He goes in and it was just disgusting. It was disgusting. And then like best show we ever had. Coincidence? I don't think so. And then follow that up with like a month later, we had Jason Priestley on the Bob and Tom show. Okay. And he's in the bathroom here.
Don't.
And I happened to go in after him and it was exquisite. It was unbelievable. It was, oh my God, 90210, oh my God, is what it was. And, yeah, that's my life.
Good one.
That's awesome.
So you hate LA is the feeling I get.
I really do. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Pittsburgh, but I've been in New York for the last 12 years. And okay. I know that's kind of a hack thing if you're from New York to hate LA, but I mean, it really, you can't not. Like, just the whole, like, I like the jobs. Like, it's fun to write for the things or whatever. Right. And, like, I have friends out there and stuff, but the rest of it, you're just like, every time you go into a fucking coffee shop, there's just, you like overhear 15 conversations about shitty screenplays
that
are going to happen.
Right.
You just know everybody in that fucking place has a headshot and they're all going to fail. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're just surrounded by like everybody's going to fail.
That's my favorite scene in The Big Picture when Kevin Bacon's interviewing for a waiter job.
Uh-huh.
And he's won this film contest, but things didn't go so well. So he's kind of running out of his prize money. So he has to go get a real job. And the guy's interviewing him, and he goes, so what do you do? And he goes, well, I make films. I think I'm going to be a director. And the guy looks at him and goes, oh, Jimmy, our busboy's a director.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
And you just can't avoid it. It's everywhere. Like every pizza place or fucking donut shop you go into, there's like the headshot of Higgins from Magnum PI or some fucking nonsense like that, you know, and it's just like, great, fine, he's also a donut eater, who gives a shit, you know, like, but they just put such a premium on that dumb nonsense, you know. Like every time you rent a car, they can't wait to tell you about who fucking rented cars here, and it's like, I don't give a fuck, like it's just obnoxious.
So, but you live with, not live with, but you live among a bunch of comedians?
No. He lives with Keith, right?
No. That's Andy Hendrickson. Is that who you're thinking of? Are you talking about Keith Alberstadt? Keith and Andy.
Yeah, like you guys are.
But I live like 10 blocks
from
them.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
They're all in Queens or Astoria or whatever.
Yeah, we all live within blocks of each other. Yeah. So it's basically like Astoria breaks down to be about like, you know, 80% Eastern Europeans and Greek people, 10% Koreans, and 10% stand-up comics. That's usually the dynamic.
Neck and neck with the Koreans.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, what, I always point out the one street that's like two blocks over from me, it's called, like, it's where I live, Queens, it's the most ethnically diverse county on the globe.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
There are more people from more places than anywhere else in the world in a geographic border in where I live in Queens.
Right.
And so, like, it's even broken down by street. So the street that's right in front of me is called Little Egypt, and it's just one block, but it's all, like, hookah bars and shit like that.
Right.
So it's, like, it's literally the joke I will make is that the breakdown tends to be, like, you know, about 70% Egyptians, 10% Moroccans, 10% Iranians, and 10% FBI. That's the gist of the... Because you really, every time you walk out of, like, a shop there on that street, you really, like, I always find myself, like, looking at the second floor window across the street, just assuming there's some, like, suits snapping black and white photos of me. Like, who the fuck is this guy? Why don't we have him? What's he, you know? Like,
he's up to something, yeah, I can tell. Yeah. He took a flight to L.A. and he...
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
You were out there for 7 months, you were telling
me? I was,
something.
Yeah. It was a disaster. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good work, though, right? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, it was, you know, and having the Oscars as a credit really seems to have kind of helped my profile and stuff. So it was all worth doing.
So do you have guys or people or from the roasts or individual people who are going to do the roasts who aren't necessarily comedians? They call you for jokes and stuff like that?
Yeah, at this point, yeah. Like I told you, Matt Lauer called me not long ago and asked me to help him write some jokes for a thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
How does that happen?
How does he get your number?
Well, actually, I guess that way, the way that worked is that he called Jeff Ross and Jeff Ross sent him to me. So that's how it worked, you know? So he needed
2 degrees.
Some edgy... He was like hosting a dinner for everybody in broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
And since, you know, his... reputation
I'm in broadcasting
at the moment is kind of
tainted.
Well, everybody in like TV news, you know,
right,
and so
right.
It was like the elephant in the room was is that his PR is terrible these
Ann
days.
Curry and all that. And
yeah, so he
yeah
had
he's to, getting a really bad rap as a giant ass right now, yeah.
Which he's not. He's a great guy.
Right,
he's
right.
A really
no,
great
yeah, that's
guy.
Strictly, I don't know.
And so he needed to like sort of have some jokes that had some bite and some balls to him, you know, like to kind of take the room back, if you will, because you know. That
That's
was the elephant in the room.
Wise on his part.
Yeah, and so I mentioned this on the show earlier, but I thought the funny thing was is that I wrote, like, just like the opening line was just like it's not brilliant, but it was just like a icebreaker kind of a joke that was something to the effect of, like, if you're wondering, I got asked to host this dinner because polio was busy or whatever. Like, you know, it's a self-effacing.
Polio?
Yeah, because it's like, what would be worse than Matt Lauer polio? You know what I mean?
Okay.
So then the next day, the headline of the National Enquirer read, Matt Lauer is worse than polio. That's
no.
How they misinterpreted that joke.
Oh,
that
oh
like
my gosh.
Basically it's like a quote like Matt Lauer thinks he's worse than polio. You know what it's like?
Oh my God.
It's a joke.
Okay,
National
so you.
Enquirer.
And you don't have to say who, but you've written jokes for other comedians that have performed on stage. Fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, mostly it's for like an event or a thing. You know what I mean?
But
like,
you don't write for one comedian.
Or even
a bunch.
Help.
No, I've written for a lot.
Right.
Like, okay, so how does that work? And you don't have to say, but I mean, do you say, you know, some big high profile guy you've written for, can you say, yeah, I write that, or you give it to them, they pay you and it's done, you never speak of it? How does
no,
that
like
work?
The real, I think the ethics of it are that I usually don't mention the joke. Like I can say who I wrote for and I can tell jokes that I wrote for them that they didn't use, but I tend not to ordinarily point out like that one was mine, the one that made it onto the air, you know?
Right.
So the roasts are different though. Like, cause the roasts, it's kind of a known thing that like, you know, everybody kind of, like Comedy Central did a top 10 best roast jokes of all time list, and I wrote 2 and 7. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
well,
stuff like that.
What was 2 and 7?
7 was on the Flavor Flav roast, and it was Ice-T, you fucking fossil. Ice-T is so old. The first thing he bought with his record deal money was his freedom. And 2 was
it is a roast. Okay,
yeah, it's a roast.
It was topical at the time, and it was. Lisa Lampanelli's a lot like the Octomom. She hasn't had 8 babies, but she has had 80 fingers inside her at the same time.
Oh my God. So,
I was pretty proud of that one. Yeah.
You are good at that. You did a Robin Quivers joke today on the show.
Oh, yeah.
That was a perfect example.
How did that come up? Because that came
I don't
up
know,
naturally.
But
it was Uncle Tom.
We were talking about how Tom was, the name Tom is unfortunate, peeping Tom, Uncle Tom.
You're so good at painting a picture, and the economy of words you use
thanks.
Is just so... God, I wish I could do half of that.
Well, I just, you know, like it just, that kind of thing begets more work. Like, you know, the fact that I've done it, then it's easier to do it again. And like, you know, you kind of just sharpen the muscle, making a widget.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you really get kind of sharp it. You know, I can edit the shit out of somebody else's joke too now at this point because I just know how to streamline it. You know, it's just been a while. Like,
so what was the first? What was the first job of that kind that you got?
Flavor Flav, actually.
The Flavor Flav was the
Greg Giraldo was like 100% instrumental in like totally getting me off the ground with all that. Okay. Like he was like he was probably my best friend, and you know, he was like kind of an older brother to me, and I was his opener for years on the road.
Oh, okay.
So we toured around a lot. And just in the being friends with him and getting to know him, and after a few years on the road, he was doing the Flavor Flav roast and was like, hey, if you have any thoughts, I'd love to, you know, if you come up with. So I like took it really seriously and I wrote like 20 pages of shit to give him. And, you know, it just, you never know if you're going to be good at roast. Like roast jokes are a very specific animal. Like there's a lot of really funny guys that are comics that I like a lot that can't do the roast thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very specific kind of joke. And it just so happens, like, I kind of nailed it, and, you know, a lot of the jokes that Greg used were mine, and they ended up going, including that one that was voted the seventh best. That was, like, my first time out of the gate doing it.
Wow.
So it kind of, Greg was like, holy shit, like, we really have something here. So then Greg and I formed, like, a partnership, and we would write together on all the roasts. And the more I did it, the more Greg kind of, like, upped my profile. Like, he was really generous about giving me credit. Like Greg would, I would come out to the roasts every year and Greg would introduce me to everybody going like, Jesse wrote a lot of those jokes, you know, which he didn't have to do.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Kind of what you were asking earlier. A lot of comics, it's like the contract is like you write the shit and then that's the end of it.
You keep your mouth shut, son.
Exactly. Right. So, but Greg was like really kind of, and I think that's a cool way to be. And I do that too. If I have, you know, friends of mine write stuff for me when I'm busy or whatever, and I'll make sure that I let people know that they helped out, you know. So that's kind of how I got into the world, you know. And then after he passed away, they basically just sort of grandfathered me into the staff, you know. And that's how I got to work with Seth, was working on the roast, and they basically paired me with Seth because he was the most like Greg, you know, as in terms of edginess, you know. So that and Seth really liked what I did. So that's when he started hiring me to like write for things for him, you know?
Wow.
So that's how it basically went. So it's all backdoor bullshit in a way, really, you know?
Well, you earned your way, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, you earned it. And you're so fortunate that Greg did what he did, because there's a lot of comedians that would be like, I'm not going to give you this opportunity. These are my laughs. You know, like people that think, like Tim Wilson is one of those people that thinks there are X amount of laughs. And if you get some of those are laughs he's not getting. You know what I mean?
They're too tired. They're not going to laugh at me.
They're
laughing at you too much.
Well,
I think that's standard. That's why people pick their, or headliners, whoever pick who's going to middle or whatever. I mean, they're,
or then sometimes they just steal their middle and their openers, you know, stuff. And I mean, that happens too. Like, that's, Greg is a really great guy in the world of comedy, it sounds like.
Yeah, he taught me a lot. Like, I really learned a shit ton from just being with Greg. And like, one of the things that I thought was really cool, and I'm not like, I guess this could sound, is that he wanted to bring me like as an opener that he really genuinely thought was funny, that he liked, that would, you know, even kind of like set the tone well.
Exactly.
And then also, even like, you know, like I bring guys on the guys I bring are usually this guy Tim Diamond and John Ozalay, who I think are hysterical guys, and the two of them are fucking hilarious, and they challenge me, like they make me bring it every time.
Well,
because they fucking bring it,
that's
as
the
opposed
way
to
be,
the other guys, like
and
they're usually like LA dudes who will just bring some shithead CD salesman, you know, just some won't challenge them, and then they'll sell their merch at the end of the show.
I've emceed so many shows or heard about somebody saying, now you can't say this, you can't say that, don't say fuck, don't say this, don't say that, because that's going to hurt my set.
That's bugged the shit out of me
and
forever.
I always thought, you know, dude, if you're not good enough, I don't care what goes on in this room, when you go on, you're going to be funny if you know what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. Totally. And I'm the headliner. I'm the one who should have the material.
Right.
I'm not going to tell a kid who's been doing it 6 years, don't do that bit, because I do. Like, I'll just do a different bit. I have twice as much experience as that. You know,
like,
right,
don't
like,
say anything about cars or horses, because that'll really fuck me up. And I'm no, come on.
Yeah, I've had guys back in the day, like, arbitrarily do that to me, and it's such a bullshit move, because it's like, shouldn't you, if you're the headliner, have more time?
And if you think I'm thinking of you, if you're listening to this podcast, you're correct. Okay.
No, but how I don't know. I guess I'm looking at like the rainbows and hugs of this, but just it's so nice that you have an environment without really having an environment, but you have a group of people that still challenge you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of, you're just such the positive side of comedy, in my opinion. Like, that sounds so nice.
You know, actually, I have been accused. Greg used to say this about me, that I'm the only comic who does comedy because his parents hugged him too much. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to recreate the amount of approval and affection that I got as a kid. Like, so I've been accused of being like a surprisingly well-adjusted guy who does comedy, you know?
Your parents must be amazing. I don't know if you guys know this about him, but his brother is, and we can't talk too much about it, seriously, not a joke, but his brother is like a super member of some sort of military operations.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like a
sounds
super,
very official.
Super SEAL team or is he a Navy SEAL? Or
a Ranger.
He's a Navy Army Ranger who can kill you three ways with your pop can. And, you know,
and it's just you and your collie. Brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my parents, like, that's the one thing that my brother and I have always, like, I think why we get along so well, even though our worlds are so different, is because we both are doing what we said we were going to do when we were 10.
Yeah.
Like, so my parents were always, like, encouraged us to, like,
right,
do
they knew
the
what
thing
was coming.
That we want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so you knew when you were 10.
Yeah, I literally, that's all I've ever said I wanted to be is a stand-up comic.
So
that's awesome.
Who said it first? Because it sounds like
I'm older.
Okay, so you said, I'm going to be a comedian. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an Army Ranger.
Well, the irony is that
I met Park Ranger, but it came out.
No, the irony is that I have, because I have to kind of keep my older brother street cred, I have gone into a lot of places just because he's done it. Like, that's why I signed up to go do military shows, because he was in Iraq, and it's like,
right,
I'm not gonna have my fucking little brother be the only one who went to Iraq, so fuck him.
Right.
So I went over to Iraq, and then he went to China and learned Mandarin, and I was like, well, fuck him. And so I like booked a tour in China, you know. I didn't learn Mandarin, but like, it's like I've been everywhere that he's been, because I'm not gonna let him.
So when he tells you, yeah, you know, when I was in China, oh yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
You didn't you weren't fortunate enough to see your brother while you were over there. Was he acting?
No, that was a big pain in the ass. It was over Christmas and a couple of years, and I went that's how I got put on the tour, more or less, was because like his brother's over there, and I don't blame the military at all for this. Like, I think those guys are the best. Like, and it's just that everybody is just trying to get through the day there, which is, I totally understand that 100%. So everybody just does the 10 things that they do. So if you come up to them and go like, hey, my brother's over here, can you help me get there? They're like, I can fix your tank, but that's not one of the 10 things I do. You know,
right.
I'm not going to fucking go out of my way to go do an extra thing.
Right.
Well, you know, so every person that we met, like every general and whatever was like, you know, I wish somebody'd let me know because I could have done something, but you know,
right.
Oh,
it's late now. But we got 6 miles away from each other. That's as close as we got.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So we were close, but we never got to.
That
we did get to talk on like a
sucks.
Secure line once,
right.
like
yeah.
on the general's phone. That was a cool moment, but
yeah.
I don't have any member of my family that I could talk to on a secure line, or would have to.
I was sitting in one of the pilot seats of Uday Hussein's jet.
Shut up!
Yeah, he had it in his office. And he, like, I was just sitting in the jet seat.
They took
talking
the seat
phone.
Out of the
yeah,
jet.
Yeah, they
you
stole
have a
it.
Photo?
Like, he kept it in his office.
Do you
yeah,
have a
yeah,
photo
I got
of
a photo
this?
Of
oh,
it.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Oh, my God.
Who was it that we, there were comedians that were over there and they toured the house?
Oh, I've been to the house.
You have?
I stole a piece of the chandelier from one of the houses.
Like,
I just ripped it. It's like a crystal. And it was in the bedroom, which is just destroyed by
rockets.
But the
house was crazy, like over the top.
Well, he had dozens of houses, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
And so, yeah, so I took, and it's neat because, like, I have this piece of a fucking chandelier from Saddam Hussein's bedroom.
Is that crazy?
And it's like, do you know how much rape this fucking
oh.
piece of
oh,
glass has seen?
That's
oh,
horrible.
A lot of rape.
That's horrible.
I know it's horrible.
But it's cool that you have it.
It is cool. Yeah.
It
so.
Is cool.
Yeah.
So who else is in, what's a typical Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday like when you're at home and not in LA and you're home and you're hanging out with the guys or you're writing or what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of writing in the afternoon. And
do you live alone?
No, that guy Jono moved in post-wife. So
oh, gotcha.
Nothing just to, because I have a giant 3-bedroom.
Oh, good for you.
So he lives in one of the bedrooms.
That's nice.
Supplements the rent, which is funny because like it's so much easier to say roommate, and I refuse to do that.
That's
you know
why
I, mean?
I asked you. Like, I didn't ask if you had a roommate. I said, "Do you live with anyone?" I didn't want to say.
But it
either.
Would just be
some
so much
like
more
that,
economical
though.
To just
well,
say roommate. But I refuse to. He calls me
up.
His roommate.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
But I will never. I go like, "There's a guy. I got divorced. He now moved in." You know what I mean? Like
that sounds
convoluted.
Always do that. What
I know,
you
I know.
Just did
yeah,
is
yeah.
very.
I don't
wise.
Understand why. What, what's the why do
I? Because I don't want to admit that I'm 34 and I have a roommate.
In
so
the name
like,
of pussy, always just say it the way you
right.
just said it.
And for whatever it's worth, I do pay the majority of the rent.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Supplements.
Yeah.
The,
right.
So I will include that detail for
yeah.
some.
Exactly. Well, yeah, no, it's yeah, that's yeah. all right. You can do that. Sure.
But anyway, but I always have like at these days I kind of tend to have like at least one sort of writing project going on yeah. in the afternoons. Like I'm punching up a movie right now for Eddie Izzard's production company.
Oh, that, cool!
I love Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
we have the same
great.
Agent, and so that's how I got hooked up with that, which is cool. So
yeah.
so I'm doing that like when I can in the afternoons, and then you know whatever, just go out and do shows in New York at night.
So you do go to the club? Like what is?
Oh
it?
Yeah,
it's so different. We hear from our good friend Greg Warren. He lives there.
Oh yeah, no, I run into Greg all the time,
and he says there's a lot of
at the Thai restaurant.
Oh, dude, that place is so pretentious. I hate that Thai restaurant.
Really? No,
they go
he
there
loves
all
the Thai
the
restaurant.
So does Andy Hendrickson. They go there all the time. It's like, it looks like a fucking Banana Republic for no good reason.
It's not a real Thai
like,
restaurant thing.
Yeah, yeah. They're playing like weird, like sensual spa music
oh
in there.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Greg
it's
loves this place.
See, that makes so much sense because yeah. his favorite restaurant is
Cheesecake Factory.
And so when he said he was going to a Thai restaurant in New York, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe Greg would
that
eat at a place
would,
like that. But it's
yeah.
totally a commercial Thai restaurant.
I don't think it's commercial so much as it's like uber hip, and I think that the chef's name is on the menu or something.
He says
like
he
that.
Says he walks in there and the owner comes up. Come here, my friend. My
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, yeah,
how
yeah,
you,
yeah.
my friend?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that happens. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I'm not above tacky shit. Like, I love tacky shit. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite restaurant in New York is the Jekyll and Hyde Club. You ever heard of it?
Uh-uh.
It's amazing. It's the dumbest place in the world. Like, if you're an adult, you have no business being there, but it's so great. It's like all 1940s horror movie themed, you know? Like,
okay.
you walk in and all the waiters are like shitty, like, or like actors on Broadway who are
right.
like trying to get started. And so they all play characters. They're like, good evening, you know, they bring in and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's amazing. And like, there's bookcase, like the bathroom, you got to find it in a bookcase. And like, there's paintings on the walls and there's like eyes behind the painting. That shift around and look at you and follow you around.
Really?
Like, it's so tacky and awesome. Like, I love that shit. So.
Wow. Okay.
How's the food?
Terrible, but it doesn't matter. Like, I go there all the time. Like, I go there every year for my birthday. It's the best. And it's like way overpriced. It's outrageous. Like, it's so not worth doing. There's like a $15
entertainment
fee.
This is not an endorsement for this restaurant.
Like, just automatically. No, but it's so great. Like, I go there as often as I can.
You know what? You guys should all go to Greg Warren's Thai restaurant
yeah.
with him, like a bunch of comedian friends, and just ruin it.
Oh, no, I do. Every time I'm there, I'm like, ugh.
Ugh.
Place.
Yeah.
And
know.
He still
I
goes.
I like Thai. I haven't had that in a long time.
Everybody has
Pad
said.
Thai?
Yeah.
I
try.
And over by Biscuits.
Uh-huh.
That's
yep.
the only place
yep.
I've ever had it.
I went there 7 years ago, the last time I went.
I was probably with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of curry. Is that Thai? Curry? Or
no,
is that
no
it's
chili.
Indian.
There's chili,
yeah.
like spicy chilies.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
I like it. It's
meat?
Good.
Meat? Buffalo meat? What kind of meat is it?
Duck.
There's lots of buffalo.
There's some duck?
Yeah, and like
Thai food,
chicken and beef.
Yeah,
that's pretty standard.
Right. Well,
it's not that much of a leap from Chinese.
No, really. Yeah, it's not. Hmm. I like.
I was in Malaysia. I ate a stingray. That was awesome. Yeah.
Did you like see them like?
Was it like in a restaurant?
It's a whole stingray.
Is it
like
they
a cut off the tail?
Is it like a lobster tank? But
yeah. Well, no. You don't get to pick the stingray. I mean, maybe you could, but they just bring you a stingray. Like they've cut its tail off, but it's the whole, and it's the weirdest thing to consume because it's like the best way I can. It's fish bacon. Right?
Really?
Like you peel it off the back of the stingray and it's like sheets of bacon, but it's fish and it's fucking great.
Really?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's raw.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
It's raw, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a great story.
God.
This has nothing to do with it, but it's that
God.
Trip.
Go.
That trip is what I think. So I went with Keith Halberstadt.
That's why I thought Keith. Yes.
Oh no, Keith's one of my best friends.
Yeah,
in the world. Like, he was the best. He was in my wedding. And
anchor down.
If you went to my website, it looks like Keith and I are gay traveling companions. We have been all over the world together. We were in Iraq together. We were in like on a beach in Hawaii. We're in a rickshaw in Shanghai. Like it really does look like we're some old gay couple that just retired and spends the rest of the time traveling.
Right.
So anyway, the dude who was with us on that tour was like he owned a bunch of property in Shanghai, and then he was friends with the guy who booked the tour, and then in his spare what else he does is he's like a tour guide for famous people in like he's like kind of a liaison because mm-hmm. he's grew up in Orange County, but he's Chinese, so he's like 100% Chinese, and so he's fluent in Mandarin, but
right.
he's an American, you know,
right.
so like
right.
he's the best. Like you could talk to him about Dukes of Hazzard, but he also is like a Chinese person,
mm-hmm.
so he can make sure that you don't get fucked when you go to the market to buy a fake watch or whatever. You know
right.
what I mean? That kind
yeah.
of stuff. So, but, and I know that we're not famous people, but he was friends with the guy who booked the tour, and mm-hmm. he, like, we really got along. So he was like, you know what, I'm going to just come with you guys on the rest of the tour. So we had this guy for like a month while all over China, or all over Asia. So he came to Singapore and Malaysia with us, and, you know, he was just a great guy, and he would just tell us stories about, like, famous people that he's toured around China, and...
Right.
I literally, I'm not doing this, but I'm not doing this on purpose. I can't remember the name of the famous tennis player who he had over there.
Okay.
Whoever it was had some twatty model girlfriend with him.
Right.
Who had zero appreciation for other people's cultures. You know, sure. Like the whole time was just like, this place is gross and these people are weird and they smell weird and, you know, yeah. like,
sure.
whatever. And so just this high maintenance. And he was like busy doing press conferences and stuff all day and whatever else he was doing. So... this guy, Dan, was mostly stuck with her the whole time. And she was just the worst. And, like, you know, she had no appreciation. And he was trying to, like, take her around at things that she wanted to go do. But, you know, which was all, like, American things. Like, she wanted to go to a McDonald's and, you know, shit like that. But he's just basically trying to make sure she doesn't get kidnapped. You know,
right,
like, that's
right.
his only job.
Right.
So, finally, like, there's a lot of tension between them. And after, like, a week, she's like, you know what? I'm fine. I can take care of myself. Like, I don't need you. Oh. And he's like, no, that's not a good idea. Like, because what you... Don't realize, like, if you've ever been to Europe, you have no fucking idea what it's like to go to China. Because, like, people have heard of English in Europe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's a chance you're going to run into somebody. In China, there's no chance.
Like, yeah.
Right.
You're never going to make it on your own in China. No one speaks right. English. Right? So.
No one, no matter how slow and loud you talk English,
how many
they're not going
to Spanish phrases you try to throw in to help it. Like, it's not going to help. So. She insists on going and like, you know, she's like, I'm fine. I'm going to do like, look, I'm a model. I've been to Paris. Like I've been in foreign countries. I know mm-hmm. what I'm doing. And he's like, look, this isn't smart. And she's like, Dan, like, listen, it's like, fuck you. She goes off. Right. And he's like, whatever, you know? So then the second half of this story is related by the police. That's how we know what happened in the story.
Oh no.
She wound up in some like one of those like real deal like markets in downtown Shanghai, like where they sell like live eels in a bucket. You know what I mean? To like it's like a food thing, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like old women like deciding whether or not this is the turtle they're going to eat. You know, like just crazy shit like that's going on. And so she just wanders there and there's a guy with a bunch of puppies in a cage. And she's like, that's sad. You know what? I'm going to rescue one of these puppies, right? So she's like, she goes up to the guy and she's like, I want that puppy. And he's like, they're just communicating with hand signals. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you want this puppy? And she's like, yeah, that's the one I want. The cutest one. Give me the cutest puppy.
Oh, no.
And he's like, okay, you want this one, right? And she's like, yes, I do. So he takes it out of the cage and snaps its neck and hands it to her.
Oh, God.
Because
she had a fucking nervous breakdown in the middle of the street.
Yeah, he thought that she wanted
gonna
it
eat
for
it.
Food.
Right, yeah. So she just, like, nervous break. So, like, the police have to show up and throw a riot blanket over her and fucking take her off and give her tea in a fucking holding cell until somebody
God.
Can fucking. Yeah. But isn't that, it's like a shame that a puppy had to die for that story
but
to
that's
be hilarious.
What she did.
But the fucking poetic justice in that story is phenomenal.
You're just so unaware of other people's.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that story, but to them, that's just, you know, a puppy's not a pet. It's it's like a baby cow, a veal. It's like veal.
And my favorite part is that not only is she responsible for that, but like she specifically selected the puppy for execution. Mm-hmm. You know, like she was like that one that's the cutest. He, you know,
and
like bring
he
him
double
to me.
Check, triple check.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I love
it's awful
story.
Cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right. Anyway,
I gotta go get a puppy.
And she made herself
I feel like
the
I've
victim.
Just
no,
dropped the room
let's,
down.
Let's, with that same guy, and I'm not saying or suggesting you did. I'm just asking if you could have. If you're like, where do I find the lovely women of Shanghai? Would he have been the guy to help you out?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We did, but you don't have to seek them out. They like
the American?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you can't go anywhere in Asia without whores constantly bothering you. Yeah. Like, we went to this place in Malaysia that was crazy. Like, Keith and I went, and it's called
in the rickshaw?
Yeah. I think it was featured on Wild On, even. Like, it was back in, remember that show?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Back
Wild,
in the
day.
It's called the Beach Club in Kuala Lumpur. It's, like, the place to go. And it's so exclusive that, like, Malaysians can't go there because it costs, like, $5 to get in. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's, like, all it is it's, like, 50 fucking awful, perverted, 60-year-old Australian and British and American businessmen and 500 whores in this place. Like, it's a dance club. And the numbers, it's literally like 10 to 1 when you go there. And Keith
whore,
and I,
whore to guy?
Yeah, yeah, whore to guy, yeah. Oh, and so they bring us there, like, after the show. It's like the after party is there. It's like this big celebratory or whatever. And we get there, and it's kind of ridiculous because, like, there's a DJ who's, like, dressed like Flavor Flav, but he's, like, the Malaysian Flavor Flav with, like, a clock around his neck and a stupid Dr. Seuss top hat, you know? And he's
Malaysia
spinning.
Flav.
Right.
Yes. Malaysia Flav!
Nice. That's very clever. Yeah. And, you know, and so, like, I guess word gets to him that we're there. And, like, nobody knows who the fuck we are, but just because we're American entertainers, that's enough, you know? So
right.
He's like, we got Keith Albarn in the house! Like, you guys have no fucking idea. That is, and everybody's like, yay! They all cheer. They have no idea. We're, like, in this VIP area or whatever.
Oh, this is...
And, like, the thing is, we literally, it was impossible to hang out there because you can't have a conversation. Like, we're literally trying to talk to each other, and every 45 seconds some girl sits in your lap and she's like, I like you, and it's like, really, what do we like about each other, you know what I mean? Like, how do you know,
you know, just, you like, yeah. Yeah,
so, and yeah, it's just a really, you can't, you're just being constantly bombarded with Asian whores.
Were they young, almost creepily young?
No. Okay. Like, a lot of them were hot. I mean, I was married at the time, so I wasn't. I think I was engaged at the time. But either way, I wasn't going
to. Yeah, and I'm not saying. I just, to me, whenever I hear that, I always think really young girls. And
well,
it,
you know,
just creeps me
out. No, that's Thailand. That's, like, okay. In Thailand, I think you can fuck a dead kid, like, for 50 bucks.
Jesse.
Is that too much? I'm really getting the Bob and Tom out of my system, is what I'm doing.
Yeah, a lot
I'm
of
really
people come
to,
on here. That's what I asked him. We talked.
Are people like, it's like over the top, edgier on this one?
Tim Kavanaugh said fuck, and you know Tim Kavanaugh.
It was
liberating. He was very excited.
Quite a few people.
These are my favorite kind of shows to do because you can just say
just
whatever.
Go.
Talk whatever the hell you want to
so
talk.
So Thailand's but, the young. Okay.
Yeah. That's the creepy place.
That's weird.
But no, but they were attractive. But you know what was funny is that Keith continued to turn off Malaysian hookers, like, by being a goofball, you know, like, you know how,
I've
know
heard
how well
about
you know Keith,
Keith
but
yeah, yeah.
He
done
has
the podcast. He's
been on
no
the podcast.
Game and none. Like, I've seen Keith fuck up sure things more than anybody. It's fascinating how he does it. And so, like, he'll just, like, because he's being, that's the problem, that's Keith's problem, is that he fucks around with people with all the same. Like, if you're his best friend or if you're a total stranger. But that's the thing, is like, they don't know he's fucking around. Like, they don't know him.
Right.
So he's just being this, like, goofball from Tennessee, like, just this goober from Tennessee or whatever, you know? And so, like, that's what he's doing. Like, where are you from? Vietnam. I heard of Vietnam. We had a war there, you know? And it's like, like, and they're just like, what? And they'll look at me like, what is this guy's problem? And
it's you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like Malaysian whore repellent.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want that. I don't know.
I was going to jump over this. Wasn't there a movie you were in? Was it called Stags?
Stags.
Yeah. Did you write it? Did you?
What?
I'm
hearing about this for the first time.
It's on Netflix. You can see it if you want.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
It's like, called Stags?
Yeah. It's basically, it's Sex and the City for dudes, in a way, if you will. It's about, like, the friendship between these four New York City confirmed bachelor dudes.
You know?
It's like a dark comedy. Okay. And I'm one of the four friends. So,
well, who are the other three? There's
no, like, names in the movie. They're all great. They're all actors you'd recognize from, like, shows and stuff. Like, they've all done episodic shit on, like, Law and Order and Friends and whatever. You'd see them all and go, like, oh, that guy, you know?
Right.
And one of them's, like, a big Broadway dude who stars with Al Pacino opposite him in Merchant of Venice or whatever, whenever that comes back to Broadway. Like, so they're all, like, you know, good actors, but nobody... The only name involved was Ben Barinholtz, was the producer, and he's the guy who produced a lot of the Coen Brothers stuff. Like, he did... Miller's Crossing and Barton Fink and Raising Arizona.
Okay.
And he also did Requiem for a Dream. So
he's
like the king of, like,
movie.
New York independent film. So
he
produced this movie. So
awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you get in on it?
I literally auditioned with every other comic in New York. Like, it was just, they needed, the part is an alcoholic comedian. So it's not really much of a stretch. You know? So I just, like, went in and auditioned, and I guess I got it. So it was cool. Like, I got to play, like, a very different kind of comic than I am, like a dark, brooding, you know, that kind of thing.
Because you've been sober for how long?
8 years. So that was fun, actually. To pretend to be a drunk again was actually a lot of fun.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I was like, I got to just sit at a bar and, like, pound shots of iced tea, but do it like I used to.
Yeah.
You know? And like, it was kind of a neat thing to do.
Was there was there an incident that you said, okay, I need to get sober?
You know what? That's the thing. I have a lot of amazing stories that people go, oh, so that's when you got sober, right? And it's like, no, not at all. But the actual incidents themselves were not that like great a story dramatic, but I basically like had drank away my immune system and got double pneumonia and appendicitis at the same time
and almost
died in the hospital. And in fact, they said, like, I collapsed on stage and they said if I hadn't showed up, I'd have been dead in 48 hours or whatever. And they when they took my appendix, like they it was like the way they described it to me was like a Lethal Weapon movie. Like they pulled it out of my body and threw it up in the air and it exploded. Like that's how close it was to like bursting in me, you know. And so that happened. And the crazy part is like while I was in the hospital recovering from all this, they didn't know what else. They diagnosed the double pneumonia, but they couldn't figure out what else that wasn't it. And it turns out it was my appendix, but they didn't know what the other thing was. So, and I thought I was just like, I drank myself to death. Like, that's what I thought was going on.
Leaving Las Vegas.
So they did a CAT scan on me, and I remember the doctor finding out that it was my appendix, and he came and told me, and I said, well, how's my liver? And he goes, like, well, that's weird. It's fine. Like, and that to me was like, oh, here this whole time, I thought I had a drinking problem. Like, it gave me like a doctor's note to like, now you can go be a real fuck up. You know what I mean? So
because you survived and your liver's fine.
Yeah. And I thought like that, because you're always trying to talk yourself into shit when you're an alcoholic. Like that made me go like, I guess I haven't really been drinking that hard, you know?
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that I was only there because I didn't have an immune system anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so when I got released from the hospital after 3 weeks, that's when I literally went on this tear that went on for 2 weeks where I was just drunk the whole time and I did a shitty one-nighter and I got a DUI. And so it was like the combination of all those factors right back to back.
Right.
And I didn't have health insurance. So it was like I was immediately $15,000 in debt in 5 weeks, you know, because of the combination of the and the DUI. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me sober, you know. So it's not a hilarious anecdote, but...
And you said earlier that you, do you really call the policeman? That
I do, yeah. Trooper Durack in New Jersey. And I thank him for arresting me. So,
wow.
Every year.
Because he saved my life, you know what I mean? Like, I've been pulled over for 4 other DUIs, and I got out of all 4 of them. You know, just by like telling him I'm a comic, and the guys were like, it's cool, or, you know, like, whatever, that
kind
of thing.
Pussy hound, right?
Yeah, right. Tell him a pussy story. That always gets him in trouble. And so I used to, like, I'd drive away after, like, hose passing a sobriety test, and, like, I got away with it, you know, thinking, like, that guy's awesome. You know, like, he let me go.
Right.
Yeah.
But then none of them were. Those guys were not awesome. Like, the guy who was awesome was the dude who wouldn't put up with my bullshit.
Right.
And apparently, in the police report, I thanked him at the time. Like that really helped me was the fact that got me sober. And by the time my court date rolled around, it was like 9 months.
Yeah.
So I'd been sober for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the cop vouched for the fact that like, he really was like a good guy about all this. Like he actually thanked me for arresting him and stuff. Like, so yeah. So like, I was just waiting for something else to intervene and thrilled that it wasn't like a little girl's bicycle under my car.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah.
Even worse.
That's for sure.
So
you know what's a sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, this is a fun drunk story that's weird. You know, I'm sure you've been there. The comedy off Broadway in Lexington.
Yeah,
sure.
That club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that club. That's like one of my favorite. Did you remember Jeff Gilstrap? He was the owner who died of a heart attack.
I know the story.
I know the name.
He was a great guy. And anyway, so that was like I tore it up in Kentucky, like because bourbon's my thing. So like that was my I would make a wreck of myself every time I went to Kentucky.
It was a Narnia.
Yeah, exactly.
For bourbon, yeah.
So I did that club and I got just ripped all the whole week. And one of the nights I get drunk with the staff and it's like 2 a.m. and Jeff comes down to close up. And he's like, all right, everybody get the hell out of here. You know, like he's kicking everybody out for the night. So I'm stumbling in my car. Jeff sees me and he's like, hey, man, how about I just give you a ride back to the hotel? Like, you seem pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's cool of you. Right. So I hop in his car and I'm like, hey, thanks, man. And he's like, I don't care about you. I just don't want to have to bail one of my comics out of jail. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah, good one. Right.
Right.
So he drops me off. Do you ever do that club or whatever? It's
no, I've been there. Like,
it's like 3 miles. Yeah. It's far from the hotel.
Oh, okay.
Like 3 miles or something, like, which isn't far. But if you're a drunk, that's not smart. You know,
right.
What I mean?
Right.
To have
yeah.
the hotel be that far away from the club.
Right.
And you have to get on a highway to do it. It's like 2 exits away. Mm-hmm. So he drops me off at the hotel and I am not tired and I watch a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I think I'm sober, but because I made this decision, I'm clearly not sober.
Right.
But I'm like, you know what? I don't have to deal with getting my car tomorrow. That's going to be a pain in the ass. I'm just going to go get it now. So I just start walking down the highway to get my car, right? 3 miles at 4 a.m. in the rain, no less, with a leather jacket. And I'm just walking down the highway. And like, She's like, I walk up the on-ramp, and I'm just on the highway walking to get my car. And I get about a mile into the walk, and there's this car to the left of me that is just completely smashed, wrapped around a tree, right? And all the doors are open. Like, the windows are all busted out. Just airbags are out, and it's abandoned. Nobody's around it, right? Oh, and God. I'm like, I walk by, and I'm like, man, that guy was fucking drunk, right?
Whoa.
And I keep walking. About another mile into, half a mile into the trip, I see a car with its lights, because it was empty, because it's 4 a.m. or whatever, right?
Right.
This car, I'm like, hey, it's the first car I've seen. Pulls up, and as he gets closer to me, he turns its lights on. It's a cop. So I'm like, ah, all right, I get it, guilty.
Right.
You can't walk on the highway. Big deal. Right. What are they going to do, right? So he pulls me up, puts the, as soon as he stops the car, gun drawn, put your hands on the hood of the car. And I'm like, this is an overreaction to jaywalking, right? And
yeah.
Puts my hands, two more cop cars show up. And I realize, and what happens is they start asking me questions, like, what are you doing out here? And I have in my head that Jeff said, I don't want to bail one of my comics out of jail. I don't think I'm going to go to jail because I haven't done anything wrong. But what I do, it's a small town. I don't know if they like golf together or something.
Right.
And the cops.
Right. Right.
So I don't want them to go like, hey, we saw one of your comics on the side of the highway at 4 a.m. And then he'd be like, what the fuck? I just drove that guy. You know, like, I didn't want any problem.
Right.
So I can't tell him I'm a comic in my head. I think that like that's going to out me. So I'm being very vague with them, which is a terrible idea. Right. So they're like, what are you doing out here? And it's like, I'm visiting. And they're like, who are you visiting? I'm like, friends of mine. Like, what are your friends' names? And I'm like, Dan. You know, and it's like, I'm just making shit up. And then they go, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to get my car. And they're like, what are you drunk? And I was like, well, I was drinking earlier, but I'm not drunk now. And that's why I left my car. And they're like, where'd you leave your car? Which is at the comedy club. But I didn't want to say the comedy club because that would give me away.
Right.
The only thing that I can think of that's next door to the comedy club is a bookstore. So I go, it's at the bookstore. And they go, you got drunk at the bookstore? And I go, yeah.
Gosh.
Like, I don't know what it
is. Yeah.
And that's so then they go, well, so your car is there. And I'm like, yeah. And I realize they are trying to pin
who is that
drunk, smashed car on me.
Okay.
And of course I'm that guy. How the fuck am I not that guy?
Right.
What are the odds that there are two drunks wandering around the highway
right.
at 4 a.m. in Lexington, Kentucky? Like, I'm certainly that guy. They've got their man.
Right.
And I slowly realize, like, they totally think I'm that dude. They're like, so that's not your car. And I'm like, it's not my car. I get what you're doing, but it's not my.
Right.
They take me down to that car with my car keys. They try that key in the ignition like literally 20 times. They're there for like 6 minutes. Like, and I can hear them whispering to themselves, like, how the fuck is this?
How is this not his car?
They're like, literally, like, what? I don't get it. Like, how,
this must be his car.
Yeah, yeah.
So there
they
are
keep
no coincidences.
Trying to make it fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it won't fit. And so finally they go like, all right.
It's not your car.
Where are you staying? And I'm like, the hotel right over here. And they're like, well, we'll drive back to the hotel. And I go, why don't you drive me back to my car? And one of them goes, fuck you, and puts me in the back of the car. Takes me back. So now it's like 6 a.m. and I'm exactly right back where I started after all that shit. It was just the worst.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, so anyway. I have a title for this episode, The Amazing Jesse Joy. That's amazing.
So see, and that's one of those stories where I'll tell people and they go like, oh, so that's when you quit drinking. It's like, no, it didn't occur.
No,
it's great. It all worked out.
Well, thank you, Jesse, very much.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
You're
I'm
incredible.
Sorry I talked your ears off here.
No, I feel like we're only half done, but thanks a lot.
Yeah, man,
all
it was
right,
fun.
Man. Oh, jessejoyce.com or what do you got?
Yeah, jessejoyce.com and Twitter/JesseJoyce. Find me there.
Jesse Joyce, the people's choice. That's what I was.
Are there other Jesse Joyces out there?
Yeah, there's a handful of them, but I'm the number one.
Okay.
Jesse Joyce.
Like, I think I accidentally.
You ever hear of that? A Google ganger? Somebody else who has your name?
Yes.
Oh, like
yeah,
a doppelganger?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm
every other Jesse Joyce's Google ganger. There's one who played minor league baseball.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He pops up like 6 pages into the Google search.
Right.
Okay. But I'm the winner.
I think I actually got to a Jess Joyce,
right.
Who's a photographer or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Something weird like
that. Yeah, there are. You know what's funny is Robert Hawkins is a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He was on that tour of Iraq with me. And unfortunately, if you Google Robert Hawkins' name, do you know who the other Robert Hawkins is?
Pedophile.
No, the kid who shot up the mall in Omaha at Christmas time a couple years ago. Remember that?
Lord.
So like now when you Google,
that's
what comes up.
Oh, that's awful.
So after that happened, I wrote to all of the Jesse Joyces on Facebook and I made a deal with them that none of us are going to do that to besmirch the name of the other ones.
Let's hold Jesse Joyce the name up to.
Yeah. Does he go by Bobby Hawkins now? Or
No. He still goes by Robert Hawkins. I mean, I think he pops up like pretty much close to right away.
Yeah. Right.
But it's mixed in with some really dark shit.
You're going to see some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse.
Sure.
Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Jason.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. It's not too late. There's Bob Schneider. That's his new.
Are you happy, Jess?
That's
his new
happy stuff.
I am.
Thank you.
It's coming out. This is from his new album called Burden of Proof. You can get that on iTunes. And Bob's going to be our guest here very soon.
Less than a month.
Less than a month on the podcast.
About a month.
Unlike Mike Doty, who might never call us. But we can hope. Because we're human. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.